You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Would you expect anything less?
Tune in to News Channel 5, the new TV home of the Cleveland Browns, every Sunday at 11 a.m. to catch Inside the Cleveland Browns, hosted by Sarah Carnes and Dustin Fox, followed by the all-new Dog Pound Rapport, 11:30 a.m., hosted by myself and Andy Baskin, with contributors from the Gribs, Andrew Gribble, of course, our great Matt Wilhelm as well. Joining us now in studio is the Gribs. Gribs, what's going on, brother?
Not much. What's going on, guys?
Nothing. How's everything over at ClevelandBrowns.com today?
It's been busy. You know, we've been monitoring the storm of tweets from Phoenix. It seems like people are enjoying themselves there, and a whole lot of Mike Pettine. He was shown on NFL Network, which I don't know if he got that treatment last year to get kind of the spotlight at the breakfast, but he was kind of a name people wanted to hear from.
He's a top five media coach in the NFL.
I was just going to say the same thing. If you go through the list of, you know, even McCoy, you know, in San Diego, Andy Reid doesn't like the media, Harbaugh doesn't like the media,
Belichick,
Tomasula doesn't know how to handle the media, Belichick doesn't like the media, and you've got a guy that is absolutely transparent, utterly confident that he is the right guy for the job, and he is owning the hell out of the Cleveland Browns right now.
Yeah, you know, and it was just going through transcripts. We're still going through audio from the entire hour. It just hit on a ton of subjects, but obviously a lot of talk about quarterbacks, a lot of talk about Johnny Manziel, Justin Gilbert, updates on both of them, both kind of encouraging on those updates. But the setting allowed him to really get into some football stuff, which is pretty interesting. He talked about how, you know, Joel Bitonio can potentially play all five spots on the offensive line if he wanted to, because he was asked if, you know, he could see Joel Bitonio as a tackle in the future. And, you know, he said he's a left guard right now for the Browns, but, you know, he wouldn't discount anything in the future. That's how much they value him. He even took time to talk about Scott Solomon. I mean, this was about as football heavy of a session that Mike Pettine's had in a long time. And it's stuff that we like to hear. Because, you know, there's a lot of other stuff that dominates the headlines in the offseason.
That's his wheelhouse.
That is his wheelhouse.
You know, you would hope that he owns it. Now, again, what about the Johnny Manziel? Just, you know, talk further about the Johnny Manziel information that they are very, very hopeful that he'll participate in OTAs, which I believe start April 20th.
Yeah, you know, I think that they're not really setting that kind of as like a hard deadline. They don't want to put that kind of, you know, pressure on him to get back. They want everything to kind of be settled, get his life back in order and ready to go whenever that works on his schedule. But, you know, ideally you think you'd want him back for when the rest of the team gets back here for OTAs on April 20th. But, you know, the news was that they've continued to talk, continue to have good dialogue. And I think the word he used to describe him was that, you know, he's really anxious to get back after it. And I think we all imagine that would be the case when you're kind of in the situation that Johnny's been in the last few months. You want to get back to what you love doing. And clearly, you know, watching him play in college, you know, he really loves playing football. So, you know, I think that's the encouraging news with Johnny Manziel. Clearly, when he does come back, it's going to be a big deal. I mean, I think that they're going to have to prepare him maybe from that end as well, when it's going to be a big national story when he's back with the team. And, you know, I think he understands that. I think the team understands that. So that's going to be part of the process of preparing for his return when it happens.
And what I'm excited for, too, is as we had John DeFilippo here in the studio, as everyone recalls, and his reference to the plan that's going to be Johnny Manziel specific, not Johnny football, but it's going to be the coaching of Johnny Manziel, and how John DeFilippo, as a former quarterback coach, is gonna coach Johnny Manziel specifically to fall in love with playing quarterback at a high level in the National Football League. And that is very encouraging for this organization.
Yeah, the key words that both Ray Farmer and Pettine have used, both with Manziel and McCown, is, you know, how they can maybe succeed more than they did last year because of the kind of offense the Browns are going to run. I think, you know, the play action was mentioned a lot with
like
both those guys.
100 times.
Yeah. So, and the fact having a good running game. And I think that's clearly, you know, we've talked a lot about the passing game throughout the offseason, but I think there's kind of this underlying confidence that the run game is going to be so much better because of the return of Alex Mack, because both Terrence West and Isaiah Crowell are coming off rookie seasons. And, you know, Mike Pettine, again, mentioned that they have three talented young backs, and Pettin is always the first one to remind you about Glenn Winston. Even though we didn't see much of him last year, he brings up Winston a lot. So that's a player that maybe we need to keep our eyes on going into OTAs and training camp. Is someone
like
going to have
Winston. The guy looks
an
like
expanded
he's
roster.
Chiseled out of stone, Glenn Winston. And yes, three young, hungry backs, Winston, like Crowell, and like Wetz, the long road traveled to get to the NFL. One of the questions I just got on Twitter that I think we can all discuss right now, G.I. George, one of our big listeners behind Enemy Lines, says, you know, Dwayne Bowe's contract coming out today, at least the reports have surfaced from SpotTrack and other per Joel Corey, who we've had on the show many, many times, the former NFL agent, that it's 2 years, $12.5 million, nine guaranteed. And the way that breaks down is $3.5 million signing bonus this year is guaranteed. His base salary of $2.65 is guaranteed as well. So basically this year is fully guaranteed. Next year there is $2.85 million guaranteed, but I'm sure there's offset in that. So it's basically a one-year deal for Bo where he's going to make about $6 million guaranteed.
Still, that's a pretty significant investment for year two, you'd think. You know, I think that...
Well, it is in the sense that if he earns it and you want him here, then you have him. And if you don't, right. It's a one-year rental at $6 million for a guy who is scheduled to make over $11 million. And really, when I think the Browns paid Miles Austin, I believe it was $4 million last year, not that much of a step up for a guy who has significantly higher ceiling and is still, you know, a guy that can be a big-time contributor to this team.
So definitely kind of we could file this under a prove-it.
That's what
contract.
I wanted for him.
Yeah.
And that's what I want for him. It's really a one-year prove-it deal.
Absolutely.
It's set up as a two-year deal, but it's really a one-year prove-it deal.
What's encouraging about it is, you know, Miles Austin missed a significant portion of last offseason with those hamstring injuries. You know, they were worried about can he run all the routes in the route tree. And I think Dwayne Bowe can, and I think he's been healthy. You know, and it's the production, and I'll hang it, you know, hang my hat on it for Dwayne Bowe. And if you guys want to hold me to it, please do. I think a change of scenery for him, and you know, after the kind of the tapering down of his numbers and the, you know, the system changes, the multiple quarterbacks that he was on the receiving end of those passes from, just kind of wore on him. And I think a fresh start here with, again, a great fan base, as he talked about, the dog pound behind him, and an organization that's trending upward is going to be a great thing for Dwayne Bowe.
Yeah, and I think he's going to be spotlighted, as Pettin today talked about. They have confidence in what he can do on the perimeter, but matching up with defenders out there. That size is still there. I think he's going to kind of, like Matt said, kind of coming in with a fresh mindset, coming to a place where he really feels, you know, this is kind of a cliche, but where he really feels wanted on this team and kind of has a big spotlight on him. And if the Browns do get a high-profile wide receiver in this draft, that only takes some of the pressure off him in that offense where he doesn't have to produce. But I think with the additions of him and Hartline, you reach the point where if you had to start a season today, you feel okay with that wide receiving group that you put on the field.
Right, and one other point that I want to make about Dwayne Bowe is the fact that, you know, Andy Reid came out and said he was, you know, he was a model citizen, he was a great teammate, and that he wanted to keep him, but didn't want to take the significant pay cut that he would have had to take, and his role would have changed simply because the Kansas City Chiefs have signed, you know, Jeremy Maclin. And you got to figure, a guy that was in a Chiefs fan's eyes trending downwards based on his production with zero touchdowns was still wanting to be kept there as a part of the organization, which meant he still had value to play wide receiver in the National Football League. So it's not like we're getting a guy that was unwanted, that was a cast-off.
And I think what you do in free agency that's smart is when you find guys who are in systems that were not suited to their skill sets and you think your system is, and you can capitalize. That happened with Hartline last year with the new offensive coordinator in Miami, and it happened to Dwayne Bowe. I mean, not a single receiver on that team caught a touchdown. First time since the mid-60s. It's crazy.
Yeah, and the flexibility of John DeFilippo sitting here saying, you know, the team that we create and the system that I'm going to run is going to be to the benefit of all these players. So Dwayne Bowe and Brian Hartline simply being signed this early, John DeFilippo is writing the playbook essentially to help them succeed and play their best.
Yeah, I think the next step is clearly what he mentioned on this show is getting a guy he's confident with in that F position. That guy he can put in the backfield, put it tight end. I think that's the next step that we're waiting to see
where it
will be addressed. But outside of that, it seems like he's kind of gone down the checklist with what fits his needs, and they've been addressed.
They have been addressed. We'll take your phone calls, 216-578-0850. When we come back, finish up our first hour here. Dante Whitner on Twitter tweeting out that I am about to be the first to see the new uniforms. I asked him, I said, do tell, Dante. And he said, I've been sworn in. I can't tell, LOL. So he's looking at the new uniforms right now, Dante Whitner. Maybe we'll see if he gives we'll see what he says. He's got to say something.
He does.
I think he's got to say, like, oh, man, they're sick, or...
Yeah. Oh, he'll give a reaction.
He's got to have a reaction.
But it's not going to be a telling reaction, that's
for
sure.
Maybe not. I want to thank my friend at P-Hawk Hodge for the kind tweet. You've got to be one of the worst in the business. Tony Grossi is right. P-Hawk, thanks for the love, brother. Back with more CBD right after this on ESPN 850 WKNR.